Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I can say one thing between yesterday and today. We got the microphone fixed.
Yes, I'm glad the mic is back.
The mic is back. Mike and Jhené are also back. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jhené, we survived day one. I broke a microphone. I busted my head. But I got to say, you balled out, so that was great.
I mean, I think we both balled out. We're a team now, so it's not like individual performance, even though it's sort of analogous to what Giannis is going through, maybe.
Ooh, I was going to say, you're not kidding. That's a great place to start. So, Mike Golic Jr. here, two-time WNBA All-Star, Jhené Egbuemeke, with you guys right now here. And you just mentioned it right now. Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks down big late to the Orlando Magic in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And, Jhené, Giannis is out here. The last I saw, 30-15-7,
yes.
Basically putting the team on his back, and it's not good enough right now. Like, this seems like, Jhené, the worst-case scenario for anyone that is a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks if Giannis starts going through this playoffs feeling like I'm doing everything I can and no one's got my back right here.
Yeah, I think that's the pressure. It's not necessarily Giannis feeling too much pressure because we know he can deliver. It's more so, will the Bucks have his back and really push for this championship? Now, today's a big day in the NBA because we have the three MVP finalists in play. We've got James Harden, we've got LeBron James, and of course, now we've got Giannis, whose team looks like they're starting off the playoff run in the bubble with an L, which is nuts. But, you know, put in context to all of this, Giannis and the Bucks lost in the conference finals to the Raptors last year in six after they won the first two games at home. So that was a big shift. And then now there's like pressure, real pressure. Giannis is likely to win MVP. And so we know he's doing the most he can individually. Again, 30 points, 14 rebounds typically on the season, six or so assists. Like, it's just nuts, the numbers that he brings. And then defensively, this is a team that is really anchored by him in the paint. He's literally doing it all. So if you think about the Bucks, they're the ones that are under pressure. I went to the, you know, I love to find the nuggets, and I went and found some nuggets on his contract. At the end of this season, Giannis is supermax eligible. So he can either, you know, at the end of the season, look for the supermax, or he cannot take the supermax and become an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season. So this is a big moment for the Bucks to basically say, hey, we are the guys that you need to build around, you know, like clearly they're building around Giannis, but we're the guys that you guys can sort of count on in the future for Giannis to stay. So every game matters. And I think momentum matters. If you look at the Bucks in the bubble, like, it's not like they had a great run at the end of the regular season, and now stumbling in game one, Giannis probably has some questions in his head. Is like, is this team good enough to host and continue to harbor my talents?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to note, because here you've got two different things in play. You mentioned the Lakers and all this, LeBron James and all his aspirations, but it's more LeBron, the ticking of the clock of Father Time, all of those things that he's got to worry about for another maybe last best chance at winning a championship. Those stakes are less high for James Harden right now, who's a little bit younger and all this, certainly for Kawhi. But for LeBron, Giannis and this city, like, what Milwaukee faces right now is the thing that I think Oklahoma City's had to live in fear of for years, as they lost a lot of their superstar talent and a lot of this. And really any of these smaller market teams looking up and seeing. We had this conversation last week, Jhené, when you and I were on, and I brought up the idea that Giannis, you mentioned, went in back-to-back MVPs. All of a sudden, if it's another inglorious playoff exit here, that pressure cooker gets put up high.
Oh, yeah.
And going into next season, that's going to come up sooner than later. Like,
yeah, let me put this in a little bit of context. Like, when we talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, he is tunnel vision. We've seen that. When he plays, in order to get to 30 and 14, he's literally focused on the game, and he's doing that in less minutes than last season. I think even he, like, has knocked down three threes. Let me go back and check. He's 3 for 7 from three, and that's, like, the growth in the game that everyone wants to see from him. He's literally trying to do as much as he can, right? Putting it into context, if you think about Giannis and his personality, he's the type of guy that's tunnel visioned, and I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. But I think it's sort of like the rest of the cast and crew. Chris Middleton has blossomed into a first-time All-Star. The rest of the cast and crew sort of needs to make the case right now, because those whispers, I remember not too long ago when the Bucks played at Golden State and Steph Curry was not playing in that game, and we were all talking about how Steph Curry was having a chat with Giannis after the game, and we're like, what is he saying? You know, I think those voices around the league, their voices will get louder and louder in his ear. And so if he wins MVP again, which is likely, and their team struggles, and I mean the Magic, I like Orlando. This is a team in the bubble.
I support my
friend Becky Bonner and all the great people down there. Like, I've had a blast getting to know this organization. But
yeah, there it is.
If they steal a few games and like make this a series, how do you feel if you're Giannis giving your all, getting MVP, and like, is that good enough? So the question, the pressure, and I know he's not the guy that would probably want to leave, but it's sort of like those voices around the league, their voices will get louder and louder and louder in his ear, and you don't want that to happen. That's why there's pressure on this team as a whole to be successful in the playoffs.
Well, and remember, it's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Great guest list coming up today. Monty Williams going to be with us in about 10 minutes here. Cassidy Hubbard joining us at 5 o'clock. And if you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 4 hours on demand in the ESPN app. This is eerily reminiscent, Chinay, of what Anthony Davis, remember how quickly that turned on a dime in New Orleans, where all of a sudden you get those whispers, you get LeBron come calling in the middle of the season, some other team reminds you, hey, we're willing to mortgage our entire team to get you over here. That's how loved you are. And that was for Anthony Davis, who has not comparatively accomplished close to as much as
MVP.
Giannis in this early portion in here. So you want to talk about what other teams would start to do if they see a bit of this. Like, I saw the stat go up on the broadcast just now. They swept the season series against Orlando 4-0 with an average margin of victory of 17 points. But another year of the regular season looking like one thing and the playoffs looking like a completely different thing could all of a sudden make life a little more complicated for the brass in Milwaukee. We will keep you guys updated on what the final looks like, as there's about 30 seconds left in that game. Orlando up 120-107, so it's looking like we're going to have some things to get to there. But coming up next, we're going to have to get some things off our chest and some questions answered on what it's like to go undefeated in the bubble and still deal with the frustration of missing out from the postseason. We will talk to the coach of the bubble next here on Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns, the story of the NBA bubble, the team of the bubble. Devin Booker, obviously, a guy that was in that conversation of players, ultimately Damian Lillard, your bubble MVP. But we're going to talk to the coach of the bubble, Monty Williams, here in just a couple of minutes. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. I almost slipped
up. It works.
You almost got me. You almost got me in the Golic and Wingo swear jar there.
$1. That's $1.
It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Mike Golic Jr., and Chinay Ogwumike. And Chinay, we just saw it went final. The Bucks don't lose. They got their you-know-what's busted in the first game by the Magic. How shocked are you as we sit here right now digesting a great game from Giannis that ultimately falls short?
I'm extremely shocked because I feel like intention is everything. I remember when the bubble just started and we had that first game with the Lakers and how hard. I know Anthony Davis had like a little highs and lows in his play, but like, we saw the star show out. And once again, we see the star show out, but like, wins matter. And we haven't talked about the Bucks for a large portion of this bubble basketball. We've been talking about teams kind of on the periphery. And I love that Coach Monty Williams is coming on because his team was on the periphery, but these young stars are really exercising their will and dominance and coming out and, you know, showing that they're here to stay. And so for Giannis and company to sort of take an L early on, maybe this is a good learning opportunity for them to say, hey, we have to move forward with intention. But more importantly, this is a team that we thought, like, especially with him coming and likely to win MVP, this is a team we thought was going to handle business because that's what's at stake. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a talent, and you cannot waste this talent, especially when the guy that a lot of people think could have won MVP is LeBron James at age 35. Like, it was, you know, neck and neck for a while. And so now, with the Bucks, you know, losing to the Magic, you have to shout out Nikola Vucevic, for having a big game. A lot of people know that this guy he can drop 20 and 20, like 20 points and 20 rebounds on anybody. And now I think, again, there are players that are on the periphery that are making names for themselves. And this is what we're seeing. And it snuck up on the Bucks.
Vooch, 35-14 on the day there. A big early go in the NBA playoffs for bigs right now. I know a lot of people have been talking about that. Again, we mentioned,
you know, this makes me happy.
Post player love on this show. Post players and offensive linemen, you are going to get love when you come to 4 to 7 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. But, and Chinay, how worried should we be? Because I looked at this game, and you look offensively, I think the Bucks ended up still with five players in double figures and all of this, some of the usual suspects in here when it goes to Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton. But defensively, for a team who we've talked about, their calling card is length and strength on the defensive end with all of this. I saw Orlando get into the rim at will down the stretch of a lot of this. That offense was moving, and they were finding uncontested shots right near the rim. How does Milwaukee go about correcting that in a short amount of time here?
I think you take a deep breath. You take a deep breath. A lot of times when you're playing, you play with emotions. I know we saw that in yesterday's Clippers-Mavs games where emotions got the best of players. And so this is the first real moment where the Bucks are on display. And I think maybe the emotions of this playoff run and the pressure sort of got to them. So, you know, if I'm a player on that team, I'm sort of like, okay, we dropped the first one, but guess what? We're going to learn and move forward and we'll be better. We'll move with intention moving forward. But yeah, I'd be a little concerned because if it's defense, this is a team that had the number one defensive rating in the NBA. This is a team where they're number one in pace. You literally have to keep up with them to beat them, and instead to see that card flipped and where the Magic were able to do that. You have six players averaging over 10 points per game near there. Again, we saw that, you know, reflected in the stat sheet, but was it the same, you know, authentic way that we've been seeing this Magic happen all season long? So, you know, if this team doesn't have success, what do we say? You know, Giannis literally did his job. Everyone else needs to step up. Chris Middleton is capable of, you know, blossoming and having 30 points. I think more likely than not in this series. But like, if I'm in Milwaukee, I'm like, oh goodness, this is supposed to be our time to run the conference. The moment is now, and you're starting off with a bad first impression.
It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. We come in here, and this is the best laid plans of radio mice and men right here. Like, we come in here all set to talk about potential buck beaters on this one. You know, are we sleeping on teams? You know, the 76ers, is there still a chance with them in all of this right now? The Miami Heat, what can they potentially be a part of as they are tipped off now against the Indiana Pacers? I guess the Orlando Magic, who you want to talk about teams we did not talk about inside the bubble. We have said not a word, and I get there's only so many teams we can talk about, but I don't know if anyone said anything about the Magic. Like, it was nice that they are here. We're happy to see them, but man.
The only time we talked about it was when they were, like, going into the bubble to, like, actually play, and then, like, Disney World was like, hey, this is our team, and then we saw that viral video, and it was cute. But I think that's what a lot of people, like, that's the underlying story here. A lot of the people that you're not talking about are the ones that are coming out and making a statement, whether it is TJ Warren, Damian Lillard. I mean, the other Luka Doncic, you can't even say that because we always talk about
him.
But if you look at these teams, like the periphery players, the periphery teams, they're the ones that are using this opportunity where they can play free and sort of do their thing.
Doing their thing is exactly what the Phoenix Suns did when they got in the bubble, though. And now we are delighted to go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to welcome in Phoenix Suns head coach Monty Williams now. Coach, we appreciate you joining us. How are you doing?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. And we talked about this. You were the coach of the bubble in the NBA, your team going undefeated, the incredible job there. But I have to imagine it, and take us through the emotion of that moment, addressing your team for the first time after when it was announced that you guys were not going to be a part of the postseason, regardless of the stellar job that you did when you got to the bubble.
Well, you know, we talked about the process before it happened, just to, you know, get guys thinking about everything that we had done up until that point that led to the outcome, all the important games that we, you know, came up short in November and December, a lot of tough, close losses. And so when we came to that point, obviously you feel bad for your guys, but you also feel a level of growth in your team. And for me, it was special to be a part of that whole scenario in the NBA campus bubble, just to be with our guys and grow and learn more about each other, and to win in that situation was huge for us. To not make it, I'm hopeful that it will spur our guys on to work more diligently, which they already do, but I think it's going to take even more to get to that next level. As a matter of fact, I know it will. So there was a ton to learn from, a ton to gain. We were grateful to be there, and we took advantage of the opportunity.
Here with Coach Williams, Phoenix Suns head coach. And Coach, congrats again. Coach of the bubble, on that growth that you mentioned, that great run, and, of course, that signature moment. Can you take us through the plan for the game-winning shot that Devin Booker had over the Clippers, most notably Paul George and Kawhi Leonard? Can you take us behind the scenes on that play?
Yeah, I mean, we had time on the clock to look for one option before he got the ball. So I tried to run a slip for McHale. And then if that failed, we wanted to put the ball in Book's hands and let him make a play. And so when he got it back again, I was close to calling a timeout, but I didn't want to overcoach the situation. I learned a long time ago from Coach Sloan, he would never call timeout in those situations. He would let his players figure it out. And I didn't want to give Doc a chance to, you know, come up with a scheme to keep Devin or any one of our scorers from getting the ball. And Devin just made a play that he's been working his tail off his whole life to make. And what was so cool for me was to watch his footwork on the play, because he works on his feet a ton, and to get himself balanced and knock that shot down over Paul and Kawhi in that situation. I was happy for our team, but I was really happy for Devin.
Coach, I'm curious. Devin was a star. Everyone knows his name, but you guys have a great young core. What did you find out about your team in the bubble that you think you can carry forward and really build off of going into next season?
I mean, gosh, that's a tough one. I think they're free. They're fearless, for sure. They have a competitive drive that was on display in Orlando. They heard all of the naysayers who said that we shouldn't be there, and all of the talk, and they didn't, you know, go to the media to expound on what they felt. They just got to work. And, you know, I learned there's a level of resiliency on our team that we didn't consistently show throughout the season. They care about each other. To see our guys in Orlando fishing together, playing spike ball, hanging out in the NBA lounge on their own was pretty cool for me to watch. And I felt so blessed to be able to steward a group like we have. And watching Javon Carter and Cam Payne, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, and Dario, all those guys grow up on the fly, said a lot about our coaches, Willie Green, Mark Bryant, Darko, Randy, the work they put in with our guys, Ricardo, every day, grinding with our guys. It was pretty cool to watch those guys grow up on the fly.
Coach, I know you mentioned spike ball. I am horrible at that game. Did you try spike ball?
I did not. I'm not a big fan of the beach. The sand is just too much for me because I got to clean it. So I just watched from the side. I was fishing while they played. And I would have messed the game up because it was a lot of quick twitch going on, and my quick twitch days are
long behind
me. So I enjoyed watching the guys. The camaraderie was awesome. It was one of those special trips for us, and I'm hopeful that our guys are watching right now and stinging because we're not in Orlando still.
Well, Coach, what we did get to watch in Orlando from you and your squad was incredible. We're looking forward to see how that group builds in the future, and we know you'll be leading the charge. We appreciate the time, Coach.
Thanks,
Thank
Coach.
You.
Thank you, guys. Congrats on the new show.
Thank you. That was Phoenix Suns head coach Monty Williams joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. All right, coming up next in the NBA playoffs last night, we had a star player get ejected, and we got to figure out whose fault actually is this. We'll get to
Never
that
the
next.
Player's fault.
Chinay
Never
and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Clippers took game one, but they didn't make it look easy in the process. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Big thanks to Phoenix Suns head coach Monty Williams for just hanging out with us. But
Coach Chinay, of the bubble.
Coach of the bubble right here. But the
Bubblicious.
News, but the news of the Bubblicious last night was ejections. Kristaps Porzingis with a fourth quarter ejection in the Mavs loss ultimately to the Clippers. One where the Mavs were up and looked very good. Luka Doncic had a little bit of an ankle scare early on, but was out there balling. But ultimately, Kristaps gets thrown out of the paint, and man, LeBron, Patrick Mahomes, Dirt, me, all of us on equal footing, ticked off about what was a soft as hell ejection last night, Janae. I don't know what else we're supposed to do with this. Like, you can't be having stars thrown off the court what's looked like that easily in playoff games right now.
It's one thing to have, like, stars thrown off the court and then have stars tweet about that star that was thrown off the court. Like, not just NBA and LeBron, but, like, we got Pat Mahomes in his feelings, too, based off the ejection. But realistically, though, Mavs were up 5 at the point of the ejection in the third quarter, and then they lost by 8. So that was a game changer. And Kristaps, if you think about this, it was his first playoff game, and it was his first career ejection. And there were some emotions happening on both sides because Luka, he came out in the game and had 5 turnovers in the first quarter, 11 for the game. People said that was close to like a record, I think, in the playoffs with the number of turnovers. This was an emotional moment for Dallas. Now, Luka still balled out, had 42. But for Kristaps, I think the first technical, he sort of punched the air. And as players, and especially in the professional level, we have the same referee protocol in the WNBA as the NBA. As players, we're told not to punch the air but people still do it. Because think about it. If it's a good thing, you punch the air like, yeah, right? But if it's a bad thing, you punch the air and you're mad. But usually we know not to punch in the direction of, well, clearly, of the ref.
Yeah.
Because that's an automatic tech. And if you punch elsewhere, which he did, usually you skate by that. So that's strike one. Strike two, which eventually became strike three, the ejection. Strike two, the ref said it was an altercation. He was the escalator in the altercation, which is true. Because he came in there and was like, hey, don't mess with my guy. Rightfully so. This is a guy that dropped 42 and is making history as like the youngest player in like most points in a playoff debut. But you have to be a little bit careful because if you are emotional in that situation, you have to be aware that you had already one technical. And that second one, even though I don't think that I would have thought he would have gotten, you know, another tech in that situation because it was a whole bunch of like homie back, like chest up, you know, heads on the heads, foreheads on foreheads type of thing. And he jumped in there. He was the escalator in the altercation, but realistically, there was no real altercation. The NBA, it's like no hands involved typically. So it was disappointing to see because that changed the entire trajectory of the game.
And I guess that's the thing is you never want to see the referees affecting the outcome of any game. And I'm not one that wants
especially
to differentiate.
Early.
And I don't want to differentiate terribly between regular season and postseason officiating. But at the same time, in situations like this, there's got to be an awareness. And I get part of that's got to be on Kristaps, but there wasn't a line that was crossed and all that. Escalating a situation, like we've seen escalated situations. We've seen it get testy inside the bubble in a lot of different ways. But this wasn't that in almost any way, shape, or form. Now, want to give Kristaps a chance to respond here. Kristaps Porzingis was at the microphone of the postgame presser talking about his ejection after the Mavs loss last night.
I understand. We got into it a little bit, and I saw him getting into Luka's face, and I didn't like that. That's why I reacted. But that's a smart thing to do from their part. I just got to be smarter and control my emotions next time, especially on the first one. I understand the second one, but the first one, even though I felt like it was a clean block, they're probably going to call that tech for throwing a hand every time. So. I just got to be smart and not let my emotions get the better of me.
Man, you watch those highlights, Bat. Pat Beverly and Marcus Morris keep earning their paychecks, taking everybody off. And it's the classic example of the guy who swings second is always going to get the one that gets tossed because Pat Bev and Marcus Morris were in there instigating. But now it's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And, Shanae, you know a little something about this. I want to go back in time right now to July 22nd, 2018 against the Dallas Wings because our very own Shanae Agumake was out here getting herself ejected. So I want to give you the chance, like we just gave Kristaps, to defend what we saw here right now because you're getting put on blast on ESPN News.
I am seeing the clip right now. You guys are if you're watching the ESPN app, you're going to see I had a clean steal. I had a clean steal on my homie, Liz Cambage. We were like down in the game. We're making a run back and I just mouthed off. I completely mouthed off on the ref. Now, granted, I've only received one technical my entire career. One technical that happened when I was a rookie. I was going up against the New York Liberty and Delisha Milton Jones. I'm sorry. I'm going to put your name out there. I love you. You're a legend in the game, but she hit me first and they only saw the reaction. They saw the flail and they're like, oh, well, you did something to her. So you get, of course, rookie move. The rookie gets the technical. And from then on, I was like, I can never get another technical because that comes out of your check. And at the point in the WNBA, we hadn't reached the CBA. So those checks were pretty light for a rookie. So I was like, I will never get a tech again. This game, I went off. I went off because earlier they sort of were like, they took away one of my biggest layups. I was going up against Liz Cambage. Y'all, she is 6'9"? 6'9", your girl here is 6'3". So, like, I went and had a nice move, and I, like, moved. You know, when I do my layup, I clear space, so I use my left arm and my right hand with the ball to finish. And they said, oh, you cleared too much space, and you flailed. So, earlier in the game, I was called for a flail. But in my head, I was like, what did they call that on? Like, I thought it was a travel, three-second violation. What was it? I didn't know. So then that moment happens, and you see me running out, and I did the peace sign, like, peace sign.
I was you're letting everybody know on the way out.
Yeah, so it was so funny because this was the game in which my family, we were playing against the Dallas Wings. My family comes to that game because we're from Houston. And so I was in Connecticut at the time, so they always come to that matchup. They used to come to the San Antonio matchups. That whole arena was like, boo, yeah, get her out of there. Because, you know, the second time I didn't realize the first was a flail. So that was my second technical when I mouthed off on the refs. I would have named him right now. Mm. But anyways, that's another case. I think he's still working in the bubble, so I won't do that. So, yeah, that game, after I got the second technical, I went to the bench. I sat down, and my coach was like, Chiney, he was so mad at me. I was like, what are you so mad for, bro? Like, we're in a, like, I'm usually the, like, calm, cool, collected player. He's like, that was your second technical. I was like, what? And so the police officer comes. The police officer comes and escorts me out. I had no clue. And so all my teammates were mad. They call me Chi-Chi. All my teammates were like hyped. They're like, yeah, Chi-Chi got turned. She's getting ejected. And so my coach was so mad that I got them hyped in the wrong way. But we got hyped so much that we ended up winning the game. And I was running out and the whole fans were booing me. And my family were the only ones. So Africa Deep, like two rows by the exit. And they're like, yeah, that's our girl. That's our girl. Yeah, like they were cheering for me. So that was my only ejection. But then again, I totally relate to Chris Aspersingas because when you have a first technical that you don't really, like it doesn't really register, you sort of forget. And so you're just going through the motions. And then the second one hits and you're like, oh, snap, now I'm out. And there's a huge impact on your team. So yeah, I lost some money. I did appeal. I tried to push forward an appeal, and I did win. So they rescinded the first technical, saying that first flail was not a flail. So technically, I should have not been ejected. So I, instead of getting two technical fines, I got one. And so hey, I'm all about my money.
I can say, listen, every dollar counts when it comes to keeping it real on the court right there. So I appreciate how much this still means to you.
And I'm
you know
sorry.
What? That energy, but listen, that energy and passion is what sports are supposed to be about. So
what about you, though?
Well, listen,
have you been kicked out of like a practice or something?
I will tell you about my one practice altercation right next, because coming up next, we got to keep that same energy when it comes to not only getting thrown out, us getting thrown out of practices, games, but Major League Baseball trying to stop one of its brightest stars from shining. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. No contracts, no compromise. So coming up next, we got to get baseball and have a word with them about one of their young stars. It's Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney Angola Jr., the podcast.
It's Chiney Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golick Jr., Chiney Agwumike, hanging out with you guys. You can tweet us at Mike Golick Jr., at Chiney321. And I said yesterday, originally when we were going to name the show, I was thinking about calling it One and Done. I thought because you were a number one overall pick in the WNBA, you're a current player still. I am done playing high-level athletics in any form right now. And we decided instead we'd make that a nice segment here around here, or give us a chance to get something off our chest, something that we've been hot on going into today. And so, without further ado, let's get to today's round of One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
And One and Done is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer. Chiney? I'm going to give you the first round today. I went first yesterday. So what do you got here for One and Done?
Ladies first, right?
Absolutely.
LeBron and the Lakers start their path to a championship today. Now, one of the words that is synonymous with King James is witness. While we are witnessing LeBron and the big three MVP candidates in action today, we're also witnessing the rising generation of NBA stars. You see, yesterday was the first time that four players under the age of 25 has scored 30 or more on the same day. Donovan Mitchell with 57, Jason Tatum with 30 and 12, the youngest Celtic ever to go over 30 points and 10 rebounds in a playoff game. Shout out to Jaylen Brown with 29. Luka Doncic made news, dropping 42, and he also had the most in a playoff debut. Jamal Murray had 31 for the Nuggets. So the kids are all right. They're not going to wait anymore. They have arrived and they are here to stay. And it doesn't stop in the NBA. This whole next generation is doing things different. Young players are taking over. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields have shown tremendous amounts of leadership and transparency in their goals, even though the system in this pandemic is still struggling to find a path forward. So Pat Mahomes is changing the game in a league where Lamar Jackson is also the reigning MVP. I don't think people know that Naomi Osaka is the highest paid female athlete right now in the world. The time is now. It is our generation, and we are taking the reins on and off the court.
Beautiful. Love seeing young people ball out. It is my favorite thing in sports. And as you just mentioned with Naomi, watching young folks get paid big time.
Ooh, yes,
in the world
part.
Of sports.
Run her money.
That makes me happy. This next one makes me a little upset because in Major League Baseball yesterday, we saw one of its youngest rising stars in Fernando Tatis go yard in a big way, but according to Major League Baseball, in the wrong time. Fernando Tatis, against a 3-0 count, decided instead of taking a pitch the way that his manager or anyone else wanted to, that he was going to swing away and go yard on a grand slam. And baseball's unwritten rules came to the forefront of the conversation yet again. And we forgot one of the greatest axioms in the world. If you have the opportunity to stunt, you stunt. Because last I checked, there was no mercy rule. Last I checked, the game was not over. And lest you think I'm front-running, I support this in every way, shape, and form, because as an athlete, I never once cared about the other team taking their foot off the pedal when they were wearing us out. The biggest stage I played on in my life was a national championship game against Alabama. We were down 21 points in the third quarter going into the fourth of that game. And what did Alabama do? They went on a touchdown drive that spanned 6 minutes or so, threw six passes, including a 19-yard touchdown pass to Amari Cooper in the fourth quarter to go up 42-14. And you know what? I wasn't on the sideline sitting there going, oh, man, I wish they would stop wearing us out, because I know in sports we work 24-7, damn near 365, for the sweetest feeling in the world, to move a man from point A to point B against his will and to beat somebody's ass. And that's exactly what Fernando Tatis got to do here. So we should support that and celebrate it and not be throwing at Manny Machado in the next at bat, because that's just lame. I can't deal with that, Janelle.
But, like, in all fairness, I think in basketball, especially when you're like you're up 20, people tend to take their starters out. But nowadays, it's like teams are all about the comeback. So now that that has moved to about 30 points, do you think this mercy rule, like, should we not be caring anymore? Because I grew up in Houston, Texas, where Yates was putting and making national headlines, putting like 160 points on folks, and people were talking about it in a derogatory way. So I don't know.
You know what? It's what's amazing to me, Chinee, is I understand the concept. And listen, being gracious as you're winning on someone could be the choice, and it's a great thing to do. We love it's not like I'm against sportsmanship around here, but at the same time, like, the likelihood of hitting a grand slam off a pitch like that is already so painfully low in these situations that to hear Jace Tingler, his manager, come out here after and give this kind of explanation for what happened is baffling to me.
Probably starts with just, you know, picking up the sign. I think, like, the learning opportunity. And just so you know, a lot of our guys have green light, you know, 3-0. But, you know, in this game in particular, you know, we had a little bit of a comfortable lead. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, run up the score or anything like that. And so, you know, put on the tape sign and you know, probably see a strike right there.
Like, in baseball, you think about it, like, that opportunity is not something you'll get every day. Why not swing?
I don't understand in that situation what the big deal is. The Texas Rangers threw at Manny Machado on that next at bat. The pitcher, Ian Gabeau, and their manager, Chris Woodward, both suspended one game as a result of the actions from that. But nothing happened in the meantime, and nothing should happen in response going forward, because this is what baseball needs. A young 21-year-old exciting player going yard and enjoy. He didn't even enjoy the moment. Spread your wings. Enjoy the moment.
We got
baseball
your back.
Needs more of this. This show's got your back. We'll continue to have his back and see if Giannis would watch his back in the playoffs.